This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little warmer this morning than it was last week.
Or last night. It's chilly last night.
I think warmer than last night.
Yeah, oh, see, I didn't go out last night.
And nor did
you
I.
Didn't have to lock up your chickens?
No, I no. did not.
I lock up my chickens, and it was cold, and I was worried about my, what was I worried about, do you think?
Potatoes.
My potatoes.
Obviously.
And I
what else do you care about?
My peas, but oh. I wasn't worried about them getting cold. But my potatoes, I thought, it's too much work, I'm not going to cover them. So I didn't cover them.
And you didn't have a frost.
So and then this morning when I got up, it was drizzly, it was overcast, and it was warmer than when I went to bed, which I like.
It wasn't drizzly at my house. There was some fog and a little misty, but it
mist.
Wasn't, it wasn't bad. But
we're supposed to be getting rain next week, right?
After this drizzle continues to build for a couple of days.
Okay, and it's a colder front, right?
Yeah, it's.
Well, they were saying the snow level was going to drop down to 3,000 feet.
Yes.
3,000
feet,
which is going to be colder here, yeah.
It's going to start at over 4,000 on Tuesday night if things go according to plan and drop on Wednesday. But still, 3,000 feet. Well, it's down to 2,500, then I start worrying. But it's supposed to be cool. They're talking about it not getting up over 60 degrees in the middle of the week.
Okay.
That's cool.
We're supposed to get rain like a couple days or?
Tuesday night into Thursday. They don't know how long it's going to linger.
I got you.
You know, like when David hangs out, you just don't know how long he's going to linger.
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking about this storm. Yeah. Is he ever going to go home?
Just don't feed him.
but do feed your plants with the rain.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's an excellent point to
throw stuff out there.
Throw some fertilizer.
You didn't get it out last week with that rain. Yeah.
That's a very good idea. I should go over and feed mom's trees. This week. Monday. Good.
I fed most things. I think I'm going to get some of the soil conditioner that we were talking about yesterday. I haven't put any out this season yet.
The Grow Power?
The Grow Power, yeah.
I've never used that.
I've used it a lot in the past. When it used to be the big brown bag where it said organic on it before they had the fight with California, it's still the same ingredients.
Yes. The bag formerly known as, the artist formerly known as the, as all organic soil conditioner is now just known as Grow Power soil conditioner. Yeah, I remember when that fight began, just telling him.
It went on for what?
It went on for a year.
A year and a half. Yeah.
And supposedly they had the science on their side. But who's going to win? And we couldn't sell it for a year because of that.
We've heard a lot about science lately. So, yeah, we know how that works. It depends what science you want to use.
That is correct. I'm glad we have it back. And I'm not sure which portions of the humus, humic acid, and Norwegian sea kelp is not organic.
Not organic, yes.
But that's what's in the bag.
It's a great product.
Yeah, great catalyst.
I know we sell quite a bit of it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I first started working here some years back, David had done a little experiment that in that June or July where you threw a small segment of it down in a section of your yard, a small amount in a section of your yard with no fertilizers and just watered. And within, 10 days or so, it just turned dark green?
It was a year, quite a few years ago, when we were expecting an El Nino winter and was supposed to be really wet. And so I shut off all my sprinklers, and we didn't get any rain after late January or early February. And this was my front lawn, primarily Bermuda, in June after having received no water. And it was dormant. It looked dead, but it was dormant. So I mowed it. And I threw down some Grow Power soil conditioner, in this one. Actually, I put it in two little test areas, and then I flipped on the sprinklers, and it was 11 days later that I snapped the second picture.
And a marked difference between the two.
Yeah, everywhere the grass was starting to grow again. It was lightly green everywhere. But where the Grow Power soil conditioner was, the grass was two or three times the height. It was thicker. The whole thing,
and it
just
much
accelerated.
Darker, yeah, it looked really dark green, like a healthy lawn.
It accelerated the growth.
Except for being a Bermuda.
Hence, a soil catalyst. It just makes good things happen in the soil.
Which Grow Power in general tends to do.
Correct.
Well,
so.
That's what the soil conditioner is. It is a concentrate of what makes Grow Power fertilizers better. It's not a fertilizer because it doesn't have a NPK, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium label on it, but it's what makes everything work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does have minerals with the kelp in it.
Kelp,
so
yeah.
You do get some
and enzymes from the right. Kelp as well. But it's encouraging things to happen in the soil, which is what you want.
It's the David Ross of encouraging.
coaching the microbes is what it does. Yes, yeah. It enables the microbes.
He's just encouraging.
An enabler.
It's encouraging.
Get your tongue out of your cheek, Mr. Mahady. Mm. I don't think you really meant that as you said it.
Oh, no,
but,
I did.
But that brings you back since taking care of the soil. I let it dry out, which was not good for it, but then the beneficial organisms begin to die out, the worms die, and maintaining the soil and keeping it happy will help to keep all your plants happy. And there's feeding going on as organic matter breaks down. You encourage the biologics, the beneficial organisms, to do their job.
What do we call that, if I remember from our thing?
Microbial activity.
The microbial activity, that's a great phrase.
It is. Sure, we were refilming yesterday the segment for the
Master Gardener.
Master Gardener seminars, and George's word, mine is obviously translaminar, but George's, and he took it. He used translaminar on the recording yesterday.
So yeah, we're going to dub it over, though,
but
fixed.
George's big word is microbial activity, and there was another one, too.
Well, we did the antimicrobial peptide.
No, there was another microbial or...
Oh, we spoke of a microbial insecticide with spinosad.
Yeah.
Captain Jack.
See, he's big on the microbial.
What did you have to film it over for?
There was too much ambient noise from the traffic going around, and we didn't have a good...
And we didn't look good.
Speakers... Oh, don't speak for yourself. Yeah, I didn't have a hat on, so you could see my bald head. So we had to cover that the second time around. Too much ambient noise. We did it outside on the patio and the trucks going by. And we didn't have a microphone up close, so it was
It went well when we did it, but as they edited, there was too much noise. So yesterday we started a little bit earlier, and it worked really well. And in a different location, it worked really well.
And did it inside.
But okay.
I think we conveyed a message.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And they said they had a significant number of people have already signed up, more than last year, for the in-person. And if you sign up for the Master Gardener show presentations, it's one entry and registration fee, and then you'll have access to all of the seminars online
for
a week. Yeah.
If
it works out, it's kind of a neat way to do it, because you can...
It can increase the audience significantly.
Yeah, when we do it in person, you have to choose. You want to go to this or go to that, because they're all happening at the same time. If you do it online, then you can watch them all at your leisure. So
yeah,
what is it?
You'll learn a lot.
Master Gardener seminars. Do you?
Well, I think we posted it previously, but I'll make sure we get it on our Facebook page.
I think I did post the link when I
we'll refresh
do it again.
Right.
Well, you know, Melanie may have actually done that, because I know she posted a picture.
She posted a picture, but she didn't put the link on this one. But we'll make sure it's out there.
Links up there.
It'll give you the information of where to look for the link. And anybody that's going to watch seminars online should be able to find the link.
Absolutely.
You would think so. You would think so. Anyway, back to the weather next week. If the rain does materialize, keep an eye on your sprinklers. Turn them off if we get a significant amount of rain. We actually got a We got a lot more rain out of that last storm than I
expected. Yeah, they should be off anyway.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
How much rain came down.
It rained all day in Poway.
Yeah. I mean,
all day.
We didn't we had rain in San Diego, but it wasn't, it was kind of spotty. But by my house.
I think we had good
roads
soaking.
Roads closed. It was crazy.
Well, you got that picture from, Tom. It said, Tom from Southland sent David a picture that a friend of his sent to him, and it said Scripps Poway Parkway, and it looked like white Christmas.
It was hailed over,
covered in hail.
And I'm pretty sure I know when it happened because we were standing out on the patio. I have video of it. It poured for probably an hour, but we must have been just outside of the hail zone.
The hail zone, yeah.
But there was thunder and lightning.
Saw that. I saw the lightning and heard the thunder, but it was. It wasn't that bad in Sandy. At least at the Point Loma store, it didn't seem that bad.
I don't think we had as much rain in the southeast portion of the county as we did at the nursery, because I was happy when I got home to find my trash cans. It was trash day.
Oh, they're
still in
there.
My driveway.
They didn't float away.
I have come home to find mine or my neighbor's cans, all the way down the street, because the water comes down the gutter, picks up the cans, and takes them. There was a bunch of debris caught under them, but it wasn't enough to wash them away, so that was fortunate.
Yes.
Well, that morning, that must have been, was it Wednesday?
Yes.
It was Wednesday. Like, I got a call from my pool guy telling me I need to put water in the pool, so that worked out really well.
Yes.
So you waited and let nature take its course.
Just let it go.
That goes back to your sprinklers. Regardless of what happens this week, probably
should have them off.
You can shut off your sprinklers now anyway from just what we got, and then if we get more, you can leave them off even longer.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yep.
Established.
I probably should have shut mine off on Wednesday.
Yes, you probably
should have.
Alas,
you should have, oughta, coulda. Didn't you listen to the guys on the radio?
Yeah, no.
Or even on the Wednesday Wisdom, which said, turn off your sprinklers, essentially.
Yeah. I did not have damage from this storm, but I did notice there was an opening in my avocado tree. I just noticed a little extra light. And I'm like, why is that there like that? And then
gone.
It was one of the seedlings, and it had weakened under all of the fruit that it had on it, and it had bent over, and it was arched and down to where I could get the fruit. So I thought, huh, this is great. And didn't do anything. It didn't take any of the fruit off. And as the fruit got more mature and stronger, it just snapped the tree in two. So,
oh, that's so sad.
It's very sad. Very, very sad. But on a positive note, later this week,
I may bring
some avocados to my friends. So
very good.
If you get avocados, you'll know who you are, and if you don't, you'll know who you are, where you sit, where you stand.
And that's the seedling one?
One of the two seedlings.
That avocado you gave me last week was a very good avocado.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I should name it and market it.
The skin was so thin though. It was like paper thin.
But I'm still able. I usually sit. I'm too lazy to scoop and make guacamole, so I just cut them in half and
scoop them out.
But the skin is strong enough to do that.
Well, that's Melanie cut it up and put it into a salad, so I didn't see how strong the skin was. But it was a very good. The quality of that was really. I was surprised for a seedling. I thought it was very good.
I wonder if he's saying that because he thinks that, or because now he thinks he's going to get more avocados from that seedling.
Well, I was going to support that. I actually think it was a very good one as well.
Mark,
I was told it was good.
Mark was told.
You don't eat avocados?
No, typically no.
I got you. Texture?
I don't know.
It's green and it's good for you. Yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah. I mean, if it was mixed with,
sour cream?
Salsa and all that stuff, yeah.
I'll bring you guys some avocados.
Okay.
I have a crate of them, and it's just half the tree. The other half is still there, but because it's a seedling.
Is that the half that broke off?
The other half, no. It was kind of a tuning fork.
Oh,
this is one side of the tuning fork, but the other side, I have to get to the top of my 12-foot ladder and extend my 12-foot avocado picker to get to the tree. They grow straight
huge.
Up. Yeah, it's
should be grafted.
Vertical.
Let's start making those.
How old was it when it produced?
This is probably the third or fourth year it's produced. the trunk. The trunks are, there's two of them. One produces slightly larger fruit, but there's two of them. Their trunks are about probably 10, 12 inches in diameter.
Oh, my word.
Well, how many years from seed to roughly?
I would guess somewhere between 8 and 10 now.
Okay, so it did take a while.
It did. It took them a long time, and they've grown up, and I'm kind of mad at myself because they've taken over half of my Haas tree. They've displaced it because they grew up under it. But to learn more about it,
you'll have to stay tuned. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
That should be one of life's lessons that Ricky was just telling everybody.
What's that?
If you can't, you can't please everyone, you just got to please yourself. Keep that in mind.
Well, I'll do that.
Okay.
For those of you that are interested in getting a spring vegetable garden going, now is the time to start thinking about it and doing it. I'm actually surprised at how good the availability is right now, and it's still early.
If we have a cool wet week,
if it gets cold next week, it could cause problems if you don't take precautions. But man, it's hitting the ground running this season.
You're not kidding.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And the stuff that's available is incredible. I was walking through the receiving department earlier this week, and we're packed with we're packed with stuff.
They're moving it out as quickly as they can, and more just keeps coming in because it keeps moving out.
Yep.
You know, we were talking about it before we hit the air. We have okra in stock. I mean, people were clamoring for okra last year, and we couldn't, it wasn't available. We couldn't
and
get
when
it.
Yeah, when we did get it, it was later in the season.
It was much later, and now real early in the season, we've got it available. So
tomatoes.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. But the selection of peppers that we have right now, I was blown away at the variety and everything that's out there, and it's big stuff. I mean, what part of the problem last year was people wanted it. The demand was so high, the growers were shipping stuff before it was ready, and it was little teeny stuff. And now everything we have in stock is really nicely sized and ready to go. It's pretty amazing.
I want that pepper.
I think they learned their lesson last year. So
I want that pepper that I was showing you yesterday, that little striped sweet snacker pepper or whatever it was.
Oh, what was the name of that one?
I don't know, but they were striped, right? The fruit was
it
tiger striped.
Was it candy cane?
Candy cane.
Candy cane pepper.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, it looks good. I'm going to try some. But I got six packs of, you know, how many people have come in and told you, I don't need six, I just need one?
Lots.
So I took home 3 6-packs with the intent of potting them into 4-inch. And I'm going to keep them so I can keep them under the roof for another week and let them get
bigger. Year or two.
At night. Yeah. And then I'll have one or two for me and my neighbors and some for mom. And, you know, I will spread my six-pack around.
These
and
were
guess
peppers?
What I actually – no, this is these are tomatoes.
So what's
Sun
tomato?
Gold Cherry.
Okay.
Cherokee Purple.
Good one.
Early Girl.
Yeah.
Well, Early Girl is probably my go-to tomato.
It's such a great flavor.
It's a great tomato, and it's almost foolproof. It's just a really good tomato.
No, in addition to the standards that we typically get, like Big Boy and Better Boy and things like that, we have some unique varieties in right now.
Oh, yes. Very strange ones.
I got a Kellogg's Breakfast too.
Why
do they call it Kellogg's Breakfast? But last year I remember getting an enormous fruit, taking it up on the weekend, slicing it, and having it on a BLT, which is kind of a breakfast sandwich. Or it might have been a late breakfast sandwich, but
brunch.
It was a very good.
It's an excellent great tomato.
Yeah. They don't have those in six packs, only in 4-inch, and they look gorgeous.
Does it taste like cereal?
No.
You're not going to like it.
It tastes like a vegetable.
I thought that's where he was like going beets, or something. It's like.
No.
Not a Fruit Loop or anything like that.
That's a good one. So those were the three?
Those are the three that I've started with.
Some of the varieties that we have that are unique and different that I thought were...
Unique and different?
Uniquely different.
Okay.
There we go. Apricot Dream for a tomato.
I have not heard of that.
I've never heard of that
one. That's
one
we have
either.
Out there. Arkansas Traveler, which is an heirloom. Big Zach. I haven't tried Big Zach. Have any of you done that one?
No, I haven't tried that one.
Blue Beauty, another unique one. Berkeley Tie-Dye.
I've tried that. I did it a few years ago. It was quite tasty. I believe it was Berkeley Tie-Dye was superior. Well, it was more highly recommended than pink Berkeley Tie-Dye.
It's a tie-dye. Is it striped?
It has yellow and green stripes in it.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Another Cunsta Little Genovese. I took that picture just because I really liked that.
That was a very good tomato. I did that in honor of Tony last year. I may have to do a Cunsta Little again.
I've done that for many years. One of the things about the heirlooms, they're delicious. They're great. They just don't look good often.
So Cunsta Little doesn't look good.
I've had customers come in and say, I'm looking for some of the ugly tomatoes. I'm looking for the ones that just don't look good. That's a lot of different heirlooms.
Sounds like maybe they're the David Austins of the tomato world.
I was going to say they were the Garden Talk Radio of the
tomato
world.
There we go. Sunrise Bumblebee is another unique one I saw out there.
It's got a good name.
It does. And Mortgage Lifter. Have you done Mortgage Lifter?
I have.
That's been around for a while.
It's a Depression era. There were a couple different varieties that were listed under Mortgage Lifter, and they were said to have helped farmers get their way out of debt during the Depression.
Well, isn't it Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter?
There are a couple of them. That's another one. Yeah, okay. They were patented about the same time.
It paid off his mortgage. His shop,
right.
His auto shop.
And then the last one that I thought was different was one called Health Kick, which has...
I've heard of it.
It has, I think it was 50% more lycopene than other tomatoes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that's just a fraction of what we have out there.
Yeah, it's just a quick snapshot of some of the things that are different.
Okay, can we agree on something that is similar? Can we agree on Sun Gold Cherry being a fantastic cherry tomato?
Yep, I have that. I still have that grown in my backyard right now.
It's a good
little
snacker.
I pick them almost every day. I'll have one.
Okay. Good. I would have too, but mine got cold in the fall and it said, sayonara. It said bye-bye.
Yeah.
And we've talked a little bit about Early Girl. Sun Gold Cherry, I think, should be a tomato somebody that people plant every year. Of course, in a different spot. And then every year people want to know what's the best one. Which one should I plant? Well, we'll give you the recommendations. Plant the ones you like. But plant a couple of extra ones every year.
Yeah, try them.
Try something different and rotate through. There's so many different varieties out there, and they're all very good.
Some are better than others.
Yeah, I think I've never grown it, but I think my favorite tomato is Campari.
They come in the clamshells
at Costco,
and those are just whoever grows those for Costco. Those are outstanding tomatoes. They are really, really good.
I think an Early Girl is very similar to that.
Size, shape, color, flavor.
I think Early Girl is a little bit bigger, but...
that's because we do a better job growing them than the Campari people do.
The commercial growers, right.
But, you know,
they get more care and loving at home.
Yeah, those Campari tomatoes, God, those are Those are fantastic.
And there was one year, a couple of years, I've seen 4th of July out there, which is another very early, small, excellent flavored variety. It's very similar to Early Girl, but I don't see 4th of July all the time. If I do see 4th of July, I will grab one.
Yeah, I've just never... I've never been impressed by heirloom tomatoes, but I think it goes back to the... They just don't look good.
They don't look good, but the taste is far superior.
You can't judge a book by its cover, Mr. Anderson.
I know.
Well, you shouldn't judge a book
by
its cover.
But I get, you know, maybe I just need to be a little more diligent in
these days
trying it out.
Well, maybe we should circle back to the books thing. We'll do that later if we run out of material.
I'll bring you some good heirlooms this year, and it'll change your mind.
Yeah, I think it's the plant.
It's the shape. The colors are unique.
Yeah, it's not the fruit. It's just the plant. So
you cut off the little squirrely, ugly part, and the rest of it's delicious.
Okay.
Have you guys done Lemon Boy?
Yes. I have not.
Yes, I have. Did you?
I liked it, but I stopped growing it for some reason.
Yeah,
years ago.
I grew it one year. It was
semi-determinate. Did it stay small or did it continue to? Yeah. I think that's why I gave up on it. It didn't want to continue. Should we talk about determinate versus indeterminate varieties
That's a good idea.
Since we're here?
Yeah.
Sure.
So determinate varieties are good for what?
Making sauces.
Why?
Because you get a bunch of fruit all at once.
And then
the plant's kind of done.
It's done. So they grow, bloom, fruit all at once. So if you want to harvest to cook or something, then you have it all at the same time. Roma is probably the most popular determinate variety.
Right.
And it kind of makes sense because if you're going to make sauce out of it, you want them all. And indeterminate, what do?
Well, they grow forever. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but they set fruit throughout the season, the growing season. You have flowers and fruit maturing.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Which is why Mark still has a Sun Gold Cherry from last year.
That is great.
You do not have aroma from last year, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
I've had some, like I had a Costa Ludo Genovese that lasted 5 years. In the winter, it just really slowed down. It was on a rock wall, so it had a lot of radiant heat throughout the night. It still gave me tomatoes through the winter, but they were smaller, a little bit thicker skin. But once the spring came in summer, they just started producing again.
Yeah, I think that's why I gave up on Lemon Boy, because I think it's determinate or semi-determinate, so it doesn't keep fruiting. And San Diego is semi-determinate. It keeps them shorter. Yeah. So if you have space constraints, that'll help as well to get a determinate or semi-determinate variety. That's our educational moment for the day.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, okay. We're done here. Let's go.
My work is done.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We've been talking about spring vegetable gardens, and now is a prime time to start getting some stuff out there. One of the things that we've actually had people asking about is the pepper that my dad grew, just call it Walter's pepper. They are in production. It should be available in about 6 weeks.
Four to
6 weeks. Yeah. So they are coming.
Depending on weather.
Yeah.
or not they're ready.
But the selection of peppers that we have right now is tremendous, and everything from that we were talking about, from like the sweet candy cane ones to the ridiculously hot ones, the weaponized ones. Yeah,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them available, and actually, some of the plants are actually really nice looking plants too. There was one, I can't remember what the name of it was, but I was looking at it yesterday. It's almost, the foliage is almost purple.
Well, many of the pepper plants make beautiful ornamentals. Their foliage is
true,
lush and green and lustrous, and then the fruit, like the habanero pepper.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
That orange wrinkly fruit against the green foliage is a beautiful ornamental, as long as you don't touch it and rub your eye.
Exactly.
But it's a beautiful plant, and some of the reds.
Tony had done a little bonsai with that a couple years ago. It looked gorgeous with the fruit on it.
You know, I do have a pepper right next to where my tomatoes gave up this last winter because it got too cold, but the pepper's still covered with fruit. It's leaning over. It was a little hotter than my taste. I remember sitting out trying to have a garage sale during COVID. And just for the record, nobody shows up at a garage sale during COVID, but it was fun to get it all out of the garage.
I took a bite
out of the pepper. I didn't know how hot it was. And boy,
you learned.
It knocked me over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't one of the super hot ones, but we have those too, if that's what you want to do.
Well, I remember when the hottest pepper that we had was habaneros, and now that's
that's like a bell sweet pepper right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember it was probably the first season that we had habaneros, and Ronnie's son was our truck driver, we were talking about how hot these peppers were, and he said, well, they can't be that hot. Well,
go ahead
and try it. And so he picked one that was smaller than a quarter, is the diameter of it, and
popped
it in his mouth and ate it. And I think he almost died. His eyes were watering. He was sweating. I think he drank three Cokes trying to.
Yeah, which.
Can you imagine filling out the workers' comp paperwork on that?
No. No, it was a
pepper.
It was pretty amazing. And I remember I went to the Taste of San Diego that they used to do at the zoo every year for their big fundraiser, and all the restaurants would come in and they would set up food stations.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably 25 years ago. We went and stopped off. Dakota's was there and stopped off at their little spot, and they were serving oysters on a half shell, which I love good oysters. And so the guy asked me, he said, do you want hot sauce on that? And I said, yeah, I'll put some hot sauce on it. and I ate the oyster, and I was like, oh my God, what the hell kind of hot sauce is? What kind of hot sauce is that? I said, oh, it's habanero hot sauce. I'm like, you need to warn people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not your standard hot sauce. This is way hotter.
Yeah, so, that can hurt you. Yes.
Yes, it
weaponized
can.
Hot sauce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am actually now motivated to get out there and get a bunch of spring vegetables in tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Are you going to do it, or are you going to take them
home?
Oh,
no, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
I do want everyone to know.
George is a doer.
That I got 3 6-packs of tomatoes. And not only did I say I was going to pot them into 4-inch pots, I actually did.
You actually did it.
They're all done and labeled.
Oh, that's even more.
Yes, I'm kind of proud of myself.
As you well should be.
It was a big day for me yesterday. After yes, after a full day of work.
I hear you.
And I had to work with George in the morning.
We had an early start yesterday. I can understand that was tedious for me as well.
Okay.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head up to Fallbrook where Harry is waiting. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning. I have a couple questions on tomatoes. One is disease. I didn't hear anything mentioned about disease resistance and also about planting tomatoes at the same spot each year. But before we get into that, can we say that determinant tomatoes are perennials and indeterminate are annuals?
No, we would say the opposite of that. Determinants are annuals because they grow, bloom, and die, grow, bloom, fruit, and die. And indeterminants will grow, bloom, and fruit and keep going until the weather. I guess we would call them a tender perennial.
It's going to depend on your microclimate.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I switched them around, but okay, that's what I wanted.
And rotating the crops and not planting tomatoes in the same place year after year is a very good idea and practice.
That's all Solanaceae plants. So you don't want to put peppers and eggplants and tomatoes in the same spot year after year. So you want to rotate them.
Okay. The reason for that is the disease. But there are tomatoes that are disease resistant, so does it make a difference?
Well, I think the rotation of the crop is more because of nematodes than disease. It's more of the nematodes in the soil will build up and destroy their roots. And you will know that you have them at the end of the season if you dig up your plant and find fat roots. You'll have knots and nodes and round balls on the roots, and they won't look normal, and it'll shut down your plants prematurely and kill them. So that's the primary reason for that. And there are many disease-resistant varieties, and the tags sometimes have the...
They used to.
The letters on them, but I don't think they do.
VFNNT.
Yes. Yeah. But some of the newer hybrids are more disease-resistant.
Easy for you to say.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm not going to finish that sentence. Would you finish that sentence for me, somebody?
The newer varieties tend to have more disease resistance than the older heirlooms.
Thanks for the help.
Here to help.
Older heirlooms. But if you do have disease problems, keep a fungicide handy. There are organic fungicides. The copper soap helps with most of the diseases that they'll get. Most of the treatable diseases that they'll get. There are untreatable ones that
you
can't. To protect them. And if you start to see blotches on them or spots on the leaves and things like that, I would treat. And a lot of that is caused by cool, wet weather, which we are expecting. So protect them from that.
Okay, we're talking about nematodes. Isn't there biological control for them also?
Yeah, they're a beneficial nematode that you can treat the soil with.
And Roy, the grower that we see on a weekly basis usually treats his tomatoes with the beneficial nematodes about once a month through the growing season, and he's had very good success with that.
So if you treat for nematodes and if you get the disease-resistant varieties, then can't you plant your tomatoes in the same spot every year?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I rest my case.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. If that's the case you're making, that's great.
You did it.
Yeah.
Thanks very much
for
the call,
Harry. Make sure
you
amend that soil and get some nutrient, get compost in that soil.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Harry. Have a great weekend.
One of the things, though, about overwintering tomatoes is spider mites. In the winter, spider mites are devastate a tomato plant.
Which is why I swore that I would never overwinter them again until they overwinter, and then I don't take them out.
Yeah, so you might be able to control some of the disease, but spider mites are very prevalent during the winter months.
But that is very true. Yeah. And
go ahead.
No. That is very true that that is... If you are going to treat for nematodes on a monthly basis, then you are less apt to need to rotate the crops.
That would be the case. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Dennis, stay on the line. We are going to be talking to you when we come back from this break. We'll be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Kane Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You'd think I'd know it by now. We're gonna go up to Escondido, where Dennis is waiting. Good morning, Dennis. Thanks for staying on hold. What can we do for you?
Hi there. This wasn't my original question, but what is a nematode?
It's a microscopic worm.
A little tiny worm.
Hangs out in the soil and damages the roots of your Solanaceae. Solanaceae.
But there are good and bad.
Root crops, too.
Right.
Okay, so these are root knot nematodes that are the bad nematodes, and then we have beneficial nematodes that go out and destroy the root knot nematodes, which are the bad nematodes.
But there are also nematodes that you can use to take care of things like grubs in your soil as well, and other insects, fleas and things like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like periparamecium, right? But in a nematode?
In a nematode.
It's a microscopic worm.
So you can't see it with your naked eye?
Correct.
No, but you can see the damage that it does.
When you pull up an infected plant, the roots look different. And that's how they don't look normal. They're knobby and knotted and twisted. And
abnormal.
They're abnormal. An abnormal brain.
But with tomatoes, if you have nematodes, which I ended up with a pretty bad infestation of them, you put the tomato plants in, they start out, they grow like crazy, and then it's like they hit a brick wall and they just
decline rapidly,
much more rapidly.
So you should treat even though you don't know you got them.
Well, you will know. You could just treat preventively, but you will know at the end of the season if you rip up your plants and look at the roots. It's obvious the difference of the appearance of the roots when you have them. And then some people will let the soil sit fallow for a year and kill off everything in the soil by just letting it go dry and heating it. And so you could use the beneficial nematodes. And then many people, just to avoid it altogether, put in fresh plantings in containers every year and do their tomatoes in containers.
And the third way would be to do some crop rotation. Don't put the same type of plants in the same spot.
My vote for favorite tomato is Mariana Peace. They're large, juicy, and they're the most tasty tomato I've ever eaten.
That is a good tomato. I had it a couple years ago. I was growing it.
Do you sell them? Do you sell them there?
We have had them. I don't know that we have them now.
I didn't see them out there right now.
Mine was grown by a coworker who gave me some from a seed set that
What's
he started.
What's it called?
Mariana Peace.
Mariana Peace.
Like the trench with the word Peace. Mariana Trench.
Yeah, I think we got them from Sea Growers. Years ago. I don't know if we had them last year, but I think we can get them. Again, the availability changes quite
every week.
Yeah, so I can't tell you. I don't think we have them now, but it is something we most likely can get.
He says optimistically. Yeah, if you want to call either of the stores and ask to go on our special order list, we can try and find it. And if one of the growers that we get from, and we have a wide range, we have a lot of different growers that we bring in tomatoes from, which is what helps us to have such a great selection. If we can get it, we will, and we'll give you a call when it comes in.
Okay, great. On a different subject, I've been telling people that my avocado trees are 70 years old, and my wife says, no, dear, they were 70 years old when we built our house in 1978. I said, oh, okay, so I've got 120-year-old avocados, and I've been feeding them 15, 15, 15, and every now and then throw out some zinc. but my concern for them is to keep them looking as nice as possible and alive. What do you suggest?
Well,
yeah, how are they doing?
No, continue doing what you're doing.
It sounds like you're doing the right
100
things.
Years yeah. old. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, one of them is missing half of its bark, and another one is looking a little scruffy, but the other three are doing pretty good.
If it's missing half of its bark, it probably got dry when the sun was beating on an area that it shouldn't have been beating on, and that portion of the trunk probably got wiped out, and now the rest of the trunk is supporting the whole tree. You might want to whitewash it, which is the... Go ahead, George. What's the whitewash?
A latex paint, a 50% mix with latex paint.
Water-based latex paint. And, you know, the Triple 15, there's nothing wrong with Triple 15. We usually recommend that you use a Grow Power or an organic because in addition to feeding the plants, they're feeding and taking care of the soil, which will help you to have a stronger, healthier plant in the long run. So I would consider switching okay. over your fertilizer and then make sure during the summer they get enough water.
And,
okay.
And the additional zinc is not a bad idea too, because that helps build the oil content in the fruit.
Fruit, yeah.
And the Grow Power has the Grow Power avocado and citrus food does have the trace minerals. It has the zinc and the magnesium and manganese that they need.
Is that something you have in stock all the time?
Yes
sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend,
Bye.
Dennis. Take care.
We've had to beef up. Can we say beef up?
I think so.
Okay, we have to beef up on our Grow Powers and all the fertilizers because the demand's been so great. But there's a lot of Grow Power citrus and all the other types in the store right now.
Yep.
We were just talking, George and I, yesterday when we were doing the Master Gardener thing about why Grow Power or why the organics. And it's like the... Grow Power Soil Conditioner. It does such a great job of helping the soil and helping feed the beneficial microbes in the soil so that they're breaking down what's there and making it available to your plant. And you keep your soil and your plants mulched. You keep organic matter in there and you feed and take care of the beneficial organisms with Grow Powers and
organics. And you build a healthy soil web.
You build a healthy soil web where worms are happy and they're eating organic matter and making fertilizer. What do they call that? Worm castings.
Worm castings, yeah. Worm manure.
Worm poop.
Yep.
Worm poop. It's great for your plants. And it
helps.
Well,
you get other things too. I mean, you get the even roly-polies. I mean, they break down material, organic material, and have it into the garden.
And as these insects die in the compost or in your organic matter, and as they're pooping in your organic matter, they're feeding the soil and they're breaking down.
And to get the fungi underneath there.
The whole thing is happening so that you don't have to do as much.
I happened to see an article yesterday about sow bugs, and I think a lot of people don't realize they are not insects. They are actually a crustacean. They are more closely related to a crawfish or a lobster or a shrimp than they are an insect.
I did not know that.
Should we start boiling them and make
garlic butter?
Yeah.
No, it was a while back. I read an article about that too, and somebody thought, "Oh, wow, it's a crustacean. They might taste good, and they don't."
Well, taste is subjective, Mr. Anderson.
Somebody did that experiment, so you don't have to.
Yes.
That was very kind.
They wasted their own time to do that for you.
Doesn't that sound like something I would do?
Yes.
But
yes.
I didn't, and I wouldn't. Is where I draw the line.
You know, an interesting observation. I can't remember the last time I saw a sow bug in my yard. I mean, they used to be
prevalent.
They were all over the place.
You don't have enough mulch in your garden, or you're using too harsh a pesticide to keep things
I wonder
things
if
at
rats
bay.
Eat sow bugs, too, or just
like
snails.
Like they do snails?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see them. They're just not around.
You kind of have to get down in the garden, Mr. Anderson, before you will see them. So if you're not out working in the garden, maybe when you prep your vegetable garden, you'll see them.
Well, my vegetable garden is usually in containers, so.
You won't see them.
Well,
check the drain hole 6 months in.
I was
going to
say, lift up the container, look underneath at the drains.
That's true.
Yeah, and they're an interesting.
Sow bugs or pill bugs or both?
They are two different things.
They are?
The pill bug and the sow bug. The bigger, larger, grayish-looking critters versus the smaller kind of
Yeah, the sow bugs, I think, don't fold up
They don't
completely.
Roll completely.
They're too sowish.
They're too roly-poly.
I did not know that.
They look like a... They kind of remind me of a 50s car with dark windows. I'm trying to think of... You would know the name, but it's kind of a low-wide car.
They all were.
Okay. It reminds me of all 50s cars. But the pill bugs... They roll up into the tight little ball.
Okay, okay, but you know you have to be careful with them because they will go after small seedlings.
Oh, they
yes,
will.
Yes, they will.
And pansies especially.
I've seen them destroy pansies and violas, just gnawing away at the stems until they fall over. But if you keep mulch for them, then hopefully they'll stay down and eat your mulch and nothing important.
There you go.
They are part of. Well, it's kind of the same. Principle with staghorn ferns. They mulch themselves. Their base shields disappear into the back and break down. And if the bugs and insects and bird droppings and
all accumulate in the back,
they kind of feed themselves. They're kind of like a natural little compost pile.
Their own ecosystem.
Yeah, an ecosystem.
There you go.
And the more that you encourage your plants to take care of themselves, instead of giving your plants a fish, you teach your plants to fish and you help the soil take care of itself so you don't have to do as much in your garden and it'll have more time to shop at the nursery. How's that?
That's
Perfect.
It.
Good wrap up.
That's a good wrap. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour.
Gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.